Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to the John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The offensive line better be a lot better.
Welcome back to the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Settle in. We're just getting started. It's the 2023 NFL Draft coverage here on San Diego's number one sports talk station. 97.3 The Fan, Chris Ello here, along with Braden Surprenant, the coach, John Quintero, breaking it all down with charts and graphs. And so far, three quarterbacks have been selected, and four players from the SEC among the first six picks. Number one pick, when as expected, Bryce Young, the Alabama quarterback going to the Carolina Panthers. Things got a little interesting with the number two pick, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State quarterback going to the Houston Texans. At the three spot, things took a turn as the Texans traded with the Arizona Cardinals to move into the number three spot, and Houston selected Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama. So the Texans getting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson in the draft tonight, a big night for the Houston Texans. The number four pick went to the Indianapolis Colts, and they went with a quarterback, Anthony Richardson, out of Florida. Devin Witherspoon, a cornerback, went to the Seattle Seahawks with the number five pick. And then the Cardinals, after trading out of the three spot, traded back up into the number six spot and selected offensive tackle Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State. I'm kind of glad that he has a junior on the end of his name because, Coach, when I think of Paris Johnson, I think of the great women's basketball player we had here from San Diego High School.
That's right.
And San Diego State, my good friend, now the basketball coach at Bishop's High. But Paris Johnson Jr. goes to the Cardinals, and now it is up to the Raiders. Raiders have always had the bad boy image. Maybe they take the bad boy here, Jalen Carter. Braden, you don't think so?
I think they get Christian Gonzalez. He's still available. They really need a playmaker in their secondary. They were last in picks last year, and they need something out there. And so far, everybody's picked kind of Christian Gonzalez to be the guy for the Raiders. So I think they stick with the cornerback pick. I think they go after the Oregon cornerback.
All right. We'll see what happens here with the number seven pick as we kick off our second hour of draft coverage.
With the seventh pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Tyree Wilson, defensive end, Texas Tech.
Tyree Wilson, edge rusher, Texas Tech.
Tight ends on both sides, and the handoff to Reese. He's hit in the backfield by Tyree Wilson and slammed down to the ground.
Wilson's ceiling is high. He has room to grow, and he got better every year in college, culminating with 8 sacks and 50 pressures for the Red Raiders last fall. He lacks ideal explosion, but has the length and quickness to mess up run plays from the backside. Wilson could play with more of an edge.
There you go. Guns up, Coach. Tyree Wilson, your old friend, your old stomping grounds, Texas Tech, goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. And he plays on the defensive line, which is defensive end, different than the defensive tackle spot of Jalen Carter. But we'll see how far Jalen Carter falls. But it's clear the NFL teams are making their feelings heard by not selecting Jalen Carter yet. Had he not gotten into all this problem, he would have been long gone by now. But the Raiders choose not to go with the bad boy this time, Coach.
Well, the thing about Tyree Wilson, and I liked in that little soundbite talking about him, he's gotten better every year. And unfortunately, last year, Chris, you know, he was having just a hell of a year. He had 60 tackles, 10 tackles for loss. He had 6 sacks. But unfortunately, he broke a foot against Kansas. And, you know, he kind of fell off the radar there for a while, but he's come back. People have looked at his tape. They've talked to him, interviewed him, and all that good stuff. And, you know, I think you know, he got good enough size. I mean, he's about 270 pounds. He's 6'5", 270, and you know, I don't know how many guys with great explosion at 6'5", 270, but I certainly think he can be a contributor. I don't think he'd be a dominating football player, but I certainly think he can have a nice career in the National Football League.
Braden, your thoughts on the Texas Tech Red Raider going to the regular Raiders?
Yeah, he just drops Red from his
yes, that's
deal. He's
right.
Now just he's just a Raider now.
Yes.
He was up there with a lot of different you know, mocks, if you will, and kind of in the top spot. I had him going, you know, number three to the Cardinals, and they decided to go with, you know, Will Anderson Jr., but that was part of my factor that I had Will Anderson Jr. going to the Texans in that second spot. So,
yeah.
You know, I had Tyree Wilson, a very high pick. I mean, a number three pick overall in the NFL draft. He falls down, you know, a couple of picks here down to Vegas. But I like the pick for Vegas. I mean, they need to do something in their interior. They're looking for defensive tackles and defensive ends, and you know, they need a cornerback. But, you know, at this point in the draft, I mean, to pass up on a playmaker like that to get a corner when you have so many corners in this draft, I think would have been, at the end of the day, probably not as wise a decision. So they go out and they get Tyree Wilson. I think it's a big pick for the Raiders, and I think they hit a home run on this pick.
All right, number eight pick is coming up, guys. I have a quick thought before the Atlanta Falcons announce their pick. Will Levis, the quarterback, how far is he going to fall since he hasn't been selected yet? Obviously, where's Jalen Carter going to fall to? And Bijan Robinson, the number one running back available by all accounts. Who's going to need a running back? Because he keeps popping up as the best available player overall, but nobody's taken him yet.
Well, Chargers.
They said like Philly might take him at 10.
Philadelphia potentially at 10.
And then, you know, Todd McShay thought that Atlanta would take him at 8. I think that would kind of be that would be such a Kyle Pitts pick for them, where they have all these problems. You know, and you don't really need a run. They don't really have a running back problem. You know, I think that would kind of be a mistake for Atlanta. But you know, I'd be really curious to see if they end up trying to get the local product and Jalen Carter at this point. And then to go back to Will Levis, I got another question for you. Instead of, you know, how far does Will Levis fall? But does Hendon Hooker get drafted before Will Levis at this point?
Could be.
We'll
yeah.
have to wait and see on that. Hey, I want to get in on the Jalen Carter thing. Okay.
Yeah.
He either will go right here to Atlanta. I really think Philadelphia, they've got a lot of veterans on that defense.
Yep.
And I think having him go to Philadelphia, he would be surrounded by a bunch of guys that have been around for a long time. And if he stepped out of bounds, they'd nail him to the wall. I think that would be a great spot for him to go just because of the leadership on that football team. But I think he could go to Atlanta.
What is your thought overall on a kid, the problems that he's had, Coach? I mean, is it forgive and forget? Like I said, the unfortunate car accident situation was a terrible outcome for everybody involved. But the thing about a guy just not showing up in shape for his own pro day, yeah, I just have trouble categorizing that.
Well, the way I look at it, and, you know, I'm not down there. I can't speak on what was going on. But I would imagine a lot, you know, dealing with lawyers, dealing with this situation, he probably wasn't working out. He probably, you know, wasn't going to the weight room. He was probably sitting around kind of pondering, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen to me? And probably went through a little bit of a depression, I would think. So, you know, you'd have to interview him, talk to him. And I think there are some organizations that, you know, they'll like Seattle, you know, Braden brought it up earlier. I mean, going to Seattle, you know, with Pete Carroll will take anybody because he feels that he can turn them around. I mean, and I think Philadelphia, you know, that organization, like I mentioned, they got a lot of veterans, especially long in the tooth on the defensive side of the ball. And I think those guys would, you know, bring him in and they'd lay down the law right from day one. And he either toes the mark or he'll be a bust in the National Football League. But this kid is a dominating football player. I mean, you go back, you know, when he was, I guess, a sophomore, when they won that first national title, I mean, he was probably the best guy on that defense that year, let alone this year.
With nine draft picks. They had nine draft picks on that defense. And
yeah, five of them were first round.
And I agree with you, Coach. He was the best defensive player on a defense that had nine first-round draft picks that was probably one of the best defenses in college football history. I mean, it's a guy that you have to pick. I like that idea of if he doesn't go to Atlanta and he falls to Philly, I mean, that's a huge win if you're Philadelphia, you know, because one, not only do you need some interior linemen defensively, you need a defensive tackle, but you're in win-now mode. I mean, how much better would you be if you're Philadelphia in win-now mode and you add arguably the best defensive tackle the last 3 years to your roster? But we'll see what Atlanta decides to do with the number eight pick. We still have a little bit of time here before we get the announcement, but this will be the telling sign, this pick.
All right, Falcons with the new quarterback Desmond Ridder and Tyler Algier, Cordarrelle Patterson, their running back selection. So Maybe they go with the hometown kid from Georgia. We'll find out what the Falcons do here in just a second as the Falcons try to get their franchise turned around with the 8th overall selection in this year's draft.
Sisters of Kansas City, Chris and Shane are a true testament to the power of mentorship. The NFL and its teams work closely with Big Brothers Big Sisters of America as part of our work on social justice through our initiative, Inspire Change. The Falcons are big-time supporters of the organization, and they're thrilled to have Chris and Shane making their pick. Okay, guys, take it away.
With the 8th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas.
Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas.
A handoff goes to Bijan, cuts through, a hole left side, still on his feet, down to the 30, cuts inside to the 20, say goodnight to it. Bijan Robinson takes it 42 yards for a Texas Longhorn touchdown.
Taking a running back early is not popular, but Robinson deserves it. The Doak Walker Award winner does it all. He can run away or through defenders, he can catch it, and he's a quality blocker. Robinson leaves Austin 4th in program history in rushing yards and total touchdowns.
There you go, guys. Bijan Robinson. I'm glad I brought him up before this pick. I wasn't predicting that the Falcons would take him, but I wanted to at least get him on the radar. Falcons obviously don't think that Tyler Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson are the full and entire answer there at running back, coach. They're going to go with this young man. And I think, like they said in the clip there, running backs just are not popular high picks anymore because they're so hit and miss, and we'll see if this one hits for the Falcons.
Well, I think the big thing about running backs, Chris, a lot of these teams, they don't have a three-down running back now. They run so many different packages. And, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, people could look up his number. This guy has had an incredible football career, whether it's running it, catching it, returning it. He's been one of the fine offensive players that nobody ever talks about. But, I mean, he's getting up there in years. And Bijan Robinson is an explosive back. Good size. I mean, tremendous speed. I mean, world-class speed. I mean, you watch him get the football, man. He's like a bazooka going down the field. And, you're taking him high, but it's a need for that football team. You know, I'm totally against taking running backs real, real high because I normally think there are a lot of guys that, you know, can factor into, certain situations where they can catch it or run it out of the backfield. But this kid here, he's a tremendous talent. There's no question about it. And they feel this guy's going to really, upgrade their offense, take a little pressure maybe off of their second year quarterback, Ridder.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder is going to be taking over the starting job in Atlanta. And he'll have somebody to hand it off to now, at least in Bijan Robinson. Next pick up is the defending NFC champion, Philadelphia Eagles. And
They traded for that.
Sorry?
They traded up for that pick.
They traded up
to
get it.
They swapped with Chicago.
They swapped with the Bears. The Bears had the number 9 pick. The Eagles had number 10. Now it's swapped.
Brandon. Yeah, they swapped the picks. I don't have the initial or the final numbers on it, but they definitely have swapped picks. So the Bears,
so the Eagles
will now
have
pick
a
10.
The Eagles spied somebody that they want with this number 9 pick.
And well, maybe it's what Coach was talking about with Jalen Carter, you know, potentially going.
Very well, could be.
I think Bijan Robinson's a phenomenal running back. I think he's going to have a great NFL future. I think the Falcons drafting him is a bad pick because they have so many problems. They have so many problems defensively, you know, defensive ends, you know, they need a D-tackle, they need a cornerback. I'm not always big on drafting for need. You always want to draft the best available player. But, you know, to me, it's like it goes down to the Kyle Pitts all over again. I mean, this team is just, they have so many problems all over the place. And, you know, I thought drafting a quarterback would be kind of a waste because they got to get to a point where they can add a quarterback at the end when they're fully developed, and then you add the quarterback, the rookie quarterback late. right when you're ready to make a run. That way you have a window, you know, of cap space to, in order to win football games and make a run at the Super Bowl. But to me, the Bijan Robinson, you know, when you got a guy like Jalen Carter, when you got, you know, other defensive players available that are just as good. And, you know, I think Bijan Robinson's a great player. I just, I don't understand. I don't get the pick by Atlanta and grabbing him eighth overall in the NFL draft.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles are next on the clock. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have the Eagles selection. Will it be Jalen Carter at long last? We'll find out. We'll recap the first eight picks as well when we come back on our NFL Draft coverage 2023 on 97.3 The Fan.
Who will your favorite NFL team pick in the first round? This is the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Draft coverage continues here on 97.3 The Fan. The ninth pick is in. The Philadelphia Eagles have made it.
The Chicago Bears have traded the ninth pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. With the ninth pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia.
There you go.
Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia.
Rodgers has got it this time. We'll put him on the turf with Jalen Carter. Big number 88 with a sack back on the 18.
At times, Carter has been considered the best player in this draft. But his bio now begins with his connection to a fatal car crash in January and a bad pro day that ignited concerns about his commitment. At his best, on the field, Carter has almost everything you want at D-tackle. Quickness, athleticism, disruption, and versatility.
Jalen Carter had the handshake down with Commissioner Roger Goodell when he went up on the stage. He was pretty pleased. Some tears in his eyes. And I'm just hoping, Coach, that him dropping the way he did from a potential number two or three pick all the way down to number nine has officially gotten his attention, and hopefully he does go down the right path and turns into a good selection for the Eagles.
Well, you know, I'll have to get a hold of Philly Billy and get his thoughts on that. But, you know, I mean, they got so many veterans. I mean, they got Brandon Graham, who's been around since 2010. They got Fletcher Cox, who's been around there Philly since 2012. I mean, those are two good, solid veterans that, you know, and you got on the offense, you got Jason Kelce, you got Lane Johnson. I mean, you got a lot of veteran guys, and they're not, I don't think they're going to let this guy go too far astray, if at all. And, you know who his agent is, don't you?
Drew Rosenhaus, it looked like.
Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah, slick Willie.
Yeah.
Drew Rosenhaus. Well, Braden, number nine, is this enough to get him on the straight and narrow path?
Well, I think his environment is what's going to put him on there. It's funny, NFL Network Radio was talking about it when I was driving in about, you know, if we give this guy $30 million, whatever the, you know, the signing bonus is and the allotment, is he going to sit there and count his blessings and go, you know, for the opportunity and realize that he avoided disaster and appreciate everything he's got? Or is he going to be the guy that, you know, sits there and goes, well, you know, I'm done with everything, and I've escaped this, and, you know, I don't really care anymore. So those are the two paths that he could potentially go. I think being in Philadelphia on a Super Bowl caliber team a year ago, on a team that coach mentioned has a lot of veterans and a lot of guys on that defense that can put him on the straight and narrow, I think he's set up for success where he could put this behind him. And go out there and be a top player for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we've seen players do it before, and not to the extent of what Jalen Carter's situation is, but we've seen guys on, you know, draft day and some problems that have arisen from, you know, off-season interviews and different things with some of the players. They've been able to overcome it and be able to have fantastic careers. So I think the Eagles get a steal at pick number nine. I think it's the reason why they traded up to get that guy, because I didn't think they, I don't think they thought they would be able to get Jalen Carter in the draft today. And they just got even better on a defense that was lights out last year.
Yeah. Well, he made everybody else on the defense a whole lot better. I mean, he's a one-man wrecking crew in the middle of that defensive line. And, you know, Chris, you pointed out his off-field escapades. I mean, serious issues. I mean, they're not in the, you know, just sweep under the rug. I mean, he was present at the scene of that car crash that killed two people in Athens back in January. He left the combine and turned himself in on two misdemeanor charges related to the crash. And then in March, he pled no contest to both misdemeanor charge related to the crash. So, you know, you were talking, and I brought it up, you know, about him being out of shape at the combine. This guy didn't have time to work out, man. He's probably meeting with his lawyers all the time and probably scared to death.
Well, he scared a lot of offensive linemen to death as a defensive tackle at Georgia. He goes to the Eagles at number 9. And now the Bears, who just swapped picks with the Eagles into the number 10 spot. By the way, the Bears picked up a couple of future draft picks in this swap, Braden. So
that is correct.
Chicago Bears will be selecting 10. What do the Bears need these days?
Lineman.
Well, they need the, Skoronski, the kid from Northwestern, probably going to go here. If they want to go cornerback, they'll go with the kid out of Oregon, Gonzalez, that I've been talking about.
Yeah, Gonzalez, Skoronski, or they could go another direction. You never can tell what the crazy Chicago Bears are going to do.
Here we go.
The Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
Uh-oh.
Darnell Wright, tackle, Tennessee. Wright is a work in progress, showing much improvement last fall, earning first-team All-SEC honors at right tackle after previously playing the left side and guard for the Vols. That versatility is a plus, as is his strength. Wright is a force in the run game and did not allow a sack last season, but he could struggle with NFL athleticism.
Anybody can struggle with NFL athleticism. I don't care who you are. Darnell Wright, maybe a surprising pick. Is it time to bring out the first, one of my favorite draft words for the first time tonight? Braden, should I mention the word reach?
Yeah,
no?
I do think it's kind of a reach. I mean, there's a lot of other offensive tackles that you know, ranked higher above Darnell Wright. I thought it was very interesting that they didn't take the kid that's in their backyard in Skoroska from Northwestern.
Skoronski.
I mean, I think that's a guy that would be perfect for the Chicago Bears. But that being said, Darnell Wright, you know, again, watching Tennessee football play, I mean, he there's something to be said about the competition he went against. And, you know, it's funny they mentioned that he might be challenged with, you know, of NFL athleticism. I mean, guy handled Georgia on the road. I mean, he's handled Georgia every year. If you look at the tape of him individually, I mean, Hendon Hooker didn't get put on his ass too many times in Athens. I mean, their biggest problem is they couldn't get the snap off because the crowd was so loud. You know, that was one of the games I got to watch Tennessee play in person, and the offensive line did pretty well against that Georgia defensive front that is, you know, lights out and is one of the best defensive fronts that you'll see in college football. So Darnell Wright, I mean, I think it's kind of a little bit of a reach, but he's got tremendous upside. And, you know, the Bears wanted offensive tackle. They obviously thought Darnell Wright was better for them than the kid in their own backyard. And, you know, we'll see if it works out for him. But I kind of agree, Chris. I mean, I had Darnell Wright kind of going lower in the draft all the way down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who also needed an offensive tackle.
Coach,
I'm looking at my draft board, and I didn't even have him in the first round, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh. So there it is, the first official reach of the evening. But as Braden said, the first official player that has tremendous upside as well. Coach, would you like to explain what that
means? He's a big old dude, man. He's 6'5", 333 pounds. I mean, he ought to be able to run block.
Even if he can't block, he can just stand there. He's going to be pretty hard to get around.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, he was projected to be a, you know, a late first rounder by both McShay and Kiper.
Right.
But it was kind of like late first, early second round for a guy like Darnell Wright, especially when you had other offensive tackles, you know, available. But, you know, this is kind of your offensive tackle run right here, as you've had, you know, Paris Johnson Jr. got selected way earlier than what we initially anticipated as an offensive tackle. Darnell Wright, offensive tackle selection kind of earlier than we anticipated. And there's some other teams that are going down the list here coming up that need offensive tackles. I mean, if you look at New England, they're looking for an offensive tackle at 14. The Jets need to protect Aaron Rodgers, who they just acquired. They need an offensive tackle potentially at 15. Washington can use one at 16. Pittsburgh can use one at 17. Tampa Bay needs one at 19.
And they could all
so
use
go
them.
Around. But those are all the teams that listed as offensive tackles that were expected to draft offensive tackles in a lot of mock drafts. And, you know, one of the guys that I think Tampa Bay might have thought could fall to him goes early, and we'll see if there's any other teams that want to go up and trade to try to get a first-round offensive tackle, because, you know, in football, the game is always won in the trenches, regardless of how great your skill players are.
Well, I think Tennessee, they've got the pick right here, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, they could go after Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, or they could go with my guy Skoronski. I'm selling Skoronski hard tonight because he can play both tackle and guard.
What about a quarterback here? Is this a spot for Will Levis? Are the Tennessee Titans going to just live and die with my old friend Tannehill forever?
Why would you draft a
new
Ryan
Tannehill? You guys can have
Will
Levis.
Yeah, are you
kidding
me?
I'm not a big fan.
Why would you draft
the new Ryan Tannehill? I just bring it up a possibility. Don't be making fun of my guy Tannehill. He was in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Whatever that means. You're
I
right.
mean, Will Levis. I mean, I think
you don't like Will. You don't like Will Levis. Why don't you like Will Levis?
They drafted a quarterback like was that last year or 2 years ago?
Oh yeah, that's right. I mean, they just got the running quarterback.
They haven't had a good quarterback in years. I don't know why you would go
Malik Willis.
Yeah,
they drafted
Malik
last year.
I mean, I don't know why you would go burn it on Will Levis.
All right, I was just throwing it out.
I could have played quarterback for him the last 4 years. Would just hand that ball to that big guy in the backfield.
That's
get
right.
the hell out of the way.
Exactly. That'd be kind of a waste.
All right,
at that
so no
point.
Quarterback here. I'm trying to find a spot for Will Levis.
Your boy. What do you think, Penn State?
Nah,
fan?
He's not my boy.
He's
I'm
your
just
guy.
Trying to. I'm feeling bad for he's getting the Aaron Rodgers sit in the green room treatment today.
Hey, Coach, what about Skoronski going to the Patriots? I think that'd be
oh, that's good. A possibility. I could see him going there without much of a problem, but I do think that. Tennessee badly needs an offensive lineman. I mean, they could go quarterback. You know, Chris brings up they could go quarterback there, but I'm just not sold on Levis at all.
It would be silly. It would be silly to do it 2 years in a row when you got Malik Willis last year. I don't think it makes any sense.
Get a tackle, Coach, and then get the volunteer in like the second or third round. There's your quarterback.
Yeah,
you guys love
him.
That guy.
He's
a hell of an athlete.
He's a good player. You could have him play under Tannehill for a year, and then
How about the Tennessee Titans getting a wide receiver? Do they even have anybody lining up at that position?
Now, see, that's the other thing too. Is they talked about potentially getting Jaxon Smith-Najee at Ohio State. You could potentially pick there Zay Flowers, a receiver that might go high. And
I mean,
you know,
the Tennessee Titans, their wide receiver core is barren.
It's not
well,
good.
Well, their wide receiver core is good at like what San Diego State wide receivers are good at, the stock blocking.
Their wide receiver core was great last year for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know why they traded
Brown.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could also go with the...
their wide receiver core was good for the Philadelphia
Eagles. Their wide receiver core almost won a Super Bowl last year, Chris.
Well, yep, they did draft Treylon Burks, the wide receiver with the first pick last year, but I don't... He didn't scratch too much.
They could take Dalton Kincaid, too, out of Utah.
Well,
hey,
we'll see.
This guy right here, this coach for Tennessee, he won the best coaches in the league, Vrabel.
I agree.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, given the kind of talent he has, and he's got his team competing every time, I don't think they listen to Vrabel too much in the draft, because if they did, they would go for a tackle for sure, so he could just continue to, road pave people with that running game. So hopefully your guy Skoronski will get drafted, Coach, because you love this guy.
Yeah, I love those big guys that can play both inside and out.
I think that would be a solid move for the Tennessee Titans if that were to be the case.
Well, should have the pick in shortly for the flying thumbtacks, as they're known.
The flying thumbtacks.
Have you ever looked at their logo?
Yeah, they should have. They should have stayed with the Oilers. Midnight. The Tennessee
the old
Oilers
oil well.
Would have been sweet.
You like the old oil well?
I love it. I mean, you know who's got that logo right now, do you?
No.
That would be the Huntington Beach Oilers. Huntington Beach High School.
Huntington Beach High School has
yes,
the oil,
they
Derek?
Got the oil. They got they're orange and black, and they got
The oil,
the
Derek.
Oil, Derek.
Let's
see what the Titans decide to do.
With the 11th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Peter Skoronski, Right. Offensive tackle, Northwestern.
Peter Skoronski, tackle, Northwestern. By some metrics, Skoronski was the best pass blocker in FBS last fall. He took over the blind side for the Wildcats as a true freshman and started every game the rest of the way, earning first-team All-America honors last season. Skoronski is athletic and technically sound, but lacks ideal size, so some see a Pro Bowl guard instead.
Guard, tackle, doesn't matter. The Titans need one or the other. I think it's a good pick for Tennessee. They get a need.
All
done,
he's got to do is talent. Hit somebody and get out of the way of Derrick Henry. That's it.
Yeah, get more big guys up front.
Yeah,
for
just keep loading them up. Mike Vrabel has somebody for the old tackle eligible play on the goal line. Coach.
That's right.
I hear Skoronski's got good hands coming out of the backfield there.
Well, the other thing about Skoronski, his grandfather was Bob Skoronski, who I believe played for Vince Lombardi in those great Green Bay Packers team. So you know this guy was raised in a football family and the game means something to him. And when you're drafting a player, you want guys that love football, because there's not every guy that is being drafted tonight or tomorrow or the next day. Not every guy loves to play football. They play football because they can make a lot of money at it, but a lot of these guys don't love the game. I have a feeling Skoronski is one of those guys that does love the game.
I got to tell you one thing. Skoronski sounds like a lineman. I mean, he does. I don't know if somebody just said that the next draft choice is going to be Peter Skoronski, I would guess that he's in the trenches somewhere.
Yeah, but in the NFC North, I mean, I don't know why the Bears passed on that guy just by the name alone. Could you imagine the Saturday Night Live Bears crew talking about Skoronski?
Hey, Brady.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Hey, Chris, I'll share this story. When I first found that out, it was many, many years ago. And then, I watched the Chargers and covered the Chargers. We were in the locker room and that. But when John Lynch got drafted by Tampa Bay, Kelly and I were living at their house because we kind of, when the family, when the mom and dad went on vacations, we kind of, were in the house to make sure everything was, staying the way it was supposed to be. And Ryan, his younger brother, was there. And Johnny was at his first mini camp. And Sam Weich was the head coach. And I'll never forget, Johnny and I stayed up late one night. We were watching SportsCenter. And I said, what's the most amazing thing that you found in this mini camp? He goes, Coach, I found out that not everybody loves football the way I love it. And I've always remembered that.
Interesting, Coach. Interesting. Well, the next pick belongs to the Detroit Lions, and the Lions had a chance to pick a little bit earlier, dropped back from the number 6 spot in the draft into the number 12 situation. Lions, what are they looking for, Braden?
Well, I think they'd be looking for a cornerback, because that's what I thought they were going to draft early on in the, when they had that trade before they put that pick before they traded back. So I'd be very curious to see who they end up picking, because to me, I thought they kind of needed some help on defense. But let's take a listen and go down to the podium and hear what they're picking.
With the 12th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Handoff, Gibbs, up the middle, 20, 15, 10, 5, to the checkerboards, touchdown, Alabama.
Gibbs is a home run threat, blending elite speed with elusiveness. He might be most dangerous as a pass catcher, creating mismatches all over the field. The main knock on Gibbs, his smaller size means workload and pass protection limitations.
What is Javon Best? You got Javon Best back on the Lions? Chris?
Well, they've got DeAndre Swift. They lost Jamal Williams, right, to the gambling suspension. So they fill that spot with Jahmyr Gibbs. I've always felt, we got to take a break, guys, but I've always felt Alabama's a difficult place sometimes to recruit a running back, because you don't know how good they really truly are, because so many of them don't even play at Alabama. They have so many weapons there that you don't even get to see the guy in the field that much.
Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back, and I'll give you my thoughts on Jahmyr Gibbs.
All right, that's coming up as our coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft continues on at 97.3 The Fan.
What position will your favorite team draft? This is the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You guys think, but it seems like we're going at a breakneck speed. It seems like the It seemed like the 2023 NFL draft is using the Major League Baseball pitch clock this
That's
year,
right.
Coach. They are just flying through these picks. We are already, let's see, 12 picks into the draft, right? Bryce Young, although not that long ago, went to number one overall as expected to the Carolina Panthers. C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, second and third picks, both going to the Houston Texans. Anthony Richardson, number four, to the Colts. Derek Witherspoon, the cornerback, going to Seattle at five. Paris Johnson Jr., a tackle, went to the Cardinals at six after some trade maneuvering by the Cardinals. Number seven was the defensive end from Texas Tech, Trey Wilson. The eighth pick was the running back Bijan Robinson from Texas to the Atlanta Falcons. Jalen Carter fell to number nine and the Philadelphia Eagles. And now we've gone through 10, 11, and 12. And number 12, Coach, was your guy Gibbs from Alabama going to the Detroit Lions. You had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind he was the second best back in this draft behind Bijan Robinson. He's a kid that started out his career, Chris, at Georgia Tech. Spent 2 years there, came to Alabama, wanted to play in a bigger program, and they were more than happy to take him. He's got a lot of skills. I mean, he got big-time speed. I mean, we talk about Bijan Robinson being able to run a 4.45. Gibbs, how about a 4.36? And I think he can come in and play right away. You know, I don't know, out of the backfield running the ball, I think he does a good job of setting up his blockers, but sometimes he tries to make the big play rather than getting the sure yards. I think at the NFL, he's not going to be able to dance as much. He's going to have to try to, you know, not try to reverse field and outrun guys with his great speed. He's got to get the sure yards. Early in his career, he had some fumbling problems. I think he got better with ball security at Alabama. He got good ball skill, really good receiver. I think there's going to be a little bit of a question on him pass blocking in the NFL, but he's one of those guys, you know, you can play him in the slot, and he can make an immediate impact as a kickoff return guy. So I like this pick. They get a dynamite football player with tremendous speed.
I think you could have got him at 18, though.
Well, that's the other thing. The Lions also have the 18th pick, but I believe the 13th pick is it in, Braden?
Yes, it is.
Are you giving me the signal?
I was giving you the thumbs up. Yeah,
Green Bay Packers, go.
Let's go down to the podium.
With the 13th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Lucas Van Ness, defensive end, Iowa.
Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher, Iowa.
Van Ness chases O'Connell out of the backfield and flings him to the ground. Lucas Van Ness came untouched.
Van Ness looks the part at 6'7", 275, nicknamed Hercules. And there's room to grow. Van Ness is already strong at the point of attack, bulldozing his way into the backfield. He definitely flashes on tape, but there's some concern with his consistency. He'll also need more pass rush moves to beat NFL O-linemen.
You also got a trade, Chris.
Yes, we do. The Packers get Van Ness with the 13th pick, defensive end going to Green Bay. But the 14th pick was going to belong to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And I remarked to you earlier, Braden, was an aside, that the Patriots are picking a little earlier than normal this year at the 14th pick. Apparently, they didn't feel too comfortable in that position. They just traded out of the 14th pick and dealt it to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When do they not trade their first round pick?
They never trade out of their pick all the time.
They want to get more. They always want as many picks as possible.
Yeah.
With Bill Belichick and company. So I'm not overly surprised. Obviously, Pittsburgh sees somebody that they want to go get, and hence why they're trading up. Van Ness, I think, is a good, you know, defensive player. Obviously, I think he's a guy that you probably could have got. Late first round, early second, you know, with a team like the Green Bay Packers. I thought for sure they were going to take a tight end or some type of pass catcher just to stick it to Aaron Rodgers after the last couple of years of refusing to draft guys to help him out. I thought that would have been the most Green Bay
thing. Yes, that would have really been a smart thing to do. Do something to stick it to Aaron Rodgers, not to help your own football team.
Exactly. But, I mean, I thought – but they need pass catchers too. I mean, they need receivers, tight ends. So I'm kind of surprised that they went with the edge rush guy and Lucas Van Ness, especially since they probably could have got him later. I had Van Ness going to the Eagles with their second first-round pick. Obviously, with them taking Jalen Carter, that probably would have changed things a little bit. But overall, I mean, the Packers weren't going to pick again for until the second round. That's the guy they wanted. Didn't think he was going to make it to that next pick, and they went out and get him.
Well, I think when you're, if you needed an edge rusher, he's probably the guy, Braden. I agree with you. I thought, you know, he would be on the board a little bit later. I thought maybe he would go number 18 to Detroit in that situation. The other edge rusher that I had going in the first round is a kid by the name of Will McDonald, the fourth out of Iowa State, and he's probably at the tail end of the first round, and we'll see if he may slip to the second round now. But I do think Van Ness went a little bit high, but if they're going on need more than just strictly talent, then they probably got their guy. But I had him going a little bit later.
Well, the Steelers are up here at the number 14 spot after trading with the New England Patriots, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, they almost always do a good job in the draft. One of the guys that's on that roster, he's having a pretty good career, don't you think, Coach? DeMonte Casey now playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's he in, about his 10th year in the NFL? He's doing a great job out of San Diego State.
Atlanta, didn't
he is. He's done a very nice job. There's no question about that.
He's had a really good career, and he's alongside Minka Fitzpatrick there. I bring that up because the Steelers could end up going for that cornerback that is still available from Oregon, Gonzalez. So we'll see.
Christian Gonzalez. The other guy they could go at.
Wide receiver.
They could possibly go for another safety
pick
from Alabama, Brian
Branch. Pittsburgh Steelers with the 14th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia.
Broderick Jones, tackle, Georgia. Jones started the final 19 games of his career at left tackle, helping the Bulldogs win back-to-back national titles. He did not allow a sack last fall while earning first-team All-SEC honors. At 6'5", 3'11", Jones has the size and athleticism teams want on the blind side, but he will need some time to get stronger and improve his technique.
I had Broderick Jones going the very next pick to the Jets, so maybe the Steelers wanted
just
to go
missed
in there and get him before the Jets do. So maybe the Jets got sniped there, but overall good pick. Steelers need an offensive tackle. I had Joey Porter Jr. going to the Steelers later on, but I also had Christian Gonzalez going way before.
Christian Gonzalez.
And he's still out there. So Steelers get offensive line help. You can never do you can never draft poorly when you draft offensive tackles in the first round. And you know, we know how tough that Steelers organization is and how much they're always around. I think Broderick Jones, another big addition to that Steelers front, Coach.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. And, Braden, if you look, I don't know what charts you're looking at to look at these tackles on offense. He was the next guy to go, really. And so maybe a lot of people thought maybe he'd go a little bit later. But, hey, if you need offensive and defensive linemen, man, you better get them while you can.
Absolutely.
Well, seven of the first 14 picks coming out of the SEC, guys, not necessarily surprised by that, but Broderick Jones, another one from Georgia. They've had two players selected so far. Alabama's already had three selected. Tennessee's had one taken, and Florida's had one taken. So seven of the first 14 picks coming out of the SEC, and
they're the best football conference.
Yes,
I mean,
they
it's
are.
Not even, it's not even debatable.
You know, I was gonna make an argument that the Mountain West can give them a run for their money, it's not gonna be much of an argument.
Yeah, you can't make the argument for any other conference.
No,
I think we ought to start kind of wondering what is going on a little bit here with Christian Gonzalez. Most people had him going in the first six or seven picks in this draft, and all of a sudden he's nowhere to be found, and we're getting ready for number 15.
Yep.
Washington was expected to take a corner in the first round. They might be able to snag him.
They could take Porter Jr. there, too.
Right. But I had Washington taking Deontay Banks out of Maryland, you know, another available corner. I mean, there's so many corners available in this year's draft that I almost feel like a lot of teams that need a cornerback are just going to wait because they know they can get somebody good later in the draft, whereas, you know, offensive tackles are going on a run right now, and some other the positions that are a little bit thinner than cornerback are going early, and you might be able to be in a situation where you can cash in on both if you're a team that needs a corner too. So I don't think the Jets are one of those teams, but you never know. They're looking for a D-tackle, another team that needs an offensive tackle, a center. You know, they might be able to go get that that safety out of Alabama as well. You know, that could help him out in Brian Branch. So we'll see what the Jets decide to do. But I am surprised that Christian Gonzalez has fallen this far, Coach, because I had him going, way earlier to the Las Vegas Raiders at 7, and he's still on the board.
Well, the Jets already got Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. Now they got the 15th pick in the draft from the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see what the New York Jets do with this. And they've got, obviously, they don't need a quarterback, so that's another spot for Will Levis to fall.
Your guy, Chris.
He's Will not Levis. My guy. I'm just bringing him up
because he
was in the running to be the first, second, or third pick.
What, he is Godfather or something?
I'm not. I'm just...
The marching chowder to society.
That's right. I'm going to give him two books of Union Oil Auto Script as soon as he gets signed.
A San Diego chapter of the Will Levis Marching Chowder Society.
Yeah, Will Levis falling like a rock, like an anchor. But I'm struggling to find a team that even needs a quarterback that could take him. So.
Well, let me ask you this. I think it's interesting. I saw it on one of the mock drafts. Do you think...
Could New England do it at 17?
It's a team that doesn't have a first-round pick. And the idea was you get, because the way that, you know, the quarterback played last year, obviously got hurt, don't really know what the future is with a guy like Matthew Stafford. Could you see the Rams trading up for that last pick with Kansas City to get a quarterback? And I saw the mock draft today with Mel Kiper. He had them drafting Hendon Hooker. Is that a spot where they could draft Hooker or Will Levis and let him play under Stafford for a year and then give him the reins with a guy like Sean McVay? I think it's a very interesting topic.
Well, is Sean McVay going to be there after this year?
I don't know. He's got a pretty good setup right now. You see his draft room he's got? They got the draft house. Being in L.A. is nice.
Yeah, is he going to be back after they win about three games since they got guys playing on defense like me?
I don't know. Guy's young, man. He can go through a couple of years living in L.A., doing his
thing. One thing you can say about the Jets, they had a very productive draft. Was it last year?
Yeah.
They had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year on their team. So other than that, they didn't do too badly, Coach, with Garrett Wilson on offense. And
Breece Hall got hurt.
Yeah, right. They had Breece
Hall,
too.
Didn't get hurt because he was hurt. On fire to
yep.
start.
They had He's Garrett nice Wilson player. On offense and Sauce on defense.
Sauce.
They had the Sauce.
Sauce.
So the Jets, you'd have to say the Jets had the best draft of anybody last year. Nobody could top having the offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Hey, Brayden, you mentioned you had Deontay Banks going in the first round. I got him going early in the second round, the cornerback out of Maryland. I had, you know, I mean, we still got Gonzalez on the board. You mentioned Joey Porter Jr. He's on the board. That kid out of Mississippi State I saw play, I thought was really good, and I've heard some good things about Emmanuel Forbes. He'd be another guy, Cam Smith out of South Carolina. All those guys I actually had ahead of Banks, but, you know, it only takes one. You know how that works.
They were all part of the those mock drafts that had, like, corners flying off the shelves, back to back to back. It's very interesting to see.
Has there still not been a wide receiver drafted yet, correct?
No, I'm surprised there, too. I would have thought Jaxon Smith-Najigba would have been drafted already at Ohio State. Zay Flowers, another option. Second-ranked receiver.
Where's your guy?
Oh, Quentin Johnston?
Yeah.
I had him going to, like...
your guy.
I had him going around to Buffalo, around the Buffalo spot.
Who's Quentin Johnston right play for? Does he play
12,
for TCU or the Minnesota Twins? I saw that logo
TCU.
You had on.
Yeah, you don't like
TCU.
The throwback baseball logo?
I don't like the
logo?
Throwback Twin Cities logo.
I love the throwback TCU logo.
I always love these guys in the draft room. After they draft, everybody hugs one another. Hell, they don't know if the guy's going to play. I think they're just excited they don't have to look at film for about a month.
Yeah, I don't know. That and Chris and I were talking about the first overall pick. Everybody seems so excited, even though they probably had the worst season in their franchise.
Yes, I don't think teams should be as excited
before.
As they are to have the number one overall pick. I don't think that's something
agree.
To be celebrated.
I got news for you. If you have it more than once, you're probably not going to be employed very long.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's different people every
didn't
time.
Didn't Jacksonville have it 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
They're pretty close when they give them. Now they should be out of that situation for a while. Now that... Teddy Ballgame has developed.
Chris,
down there.
What position do you think the Jets pick here?
What position do the Jets pick?
I had him picking a tackle, but I don't know if there's any left.
What did Aaron Rodgers tell him to pick?
That's exactly right. They don't need any more weapons.
Offensive line.
I could see that.
There's no offensive lineman high on the list right now.
Maybe
there
Anton
really
Harrison at Oklahoma. That'd be kind of a reach.
See what the New York Jetropolitans do.
I had them taking an offensive tackle in the second round, 42nd overall, DeJuan Jones out of Ohio State.
Do you want to get the pick when we come back?
Yes, let's do that. We'll keep you wanting for the Jets pick hour, and then more of our draft coverage on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Coach John.
What position will your favorite team draft? This is the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know what you guys think, but it seems like we're going at a breakneck speed. It seems like the It seemed like the 2023 NFL Draft is using the Major League Baseball pitch clock this
That's
year,
right.
Coach. They are just flying through these picks. We are already, 12 picks into the draft, right? Bryce Young, although not that long ago, went to number one overall, as expected, to the Carolina Panthers. C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, second and third picks, both going to the Houston Texans. Anthony Richardson, number four, to the Colts. Derek Witherspoon, the cornerback, going to Seattle at five. Paris Johnson Jr., a tackle, went to the Cardinals at six after some trade maneuvering by the Cardinals. Number seven was the defensive end from Texas Tech, Trey Wilson. The eighth pick was the running back Bijan Robinson from Texas to the Atlanta Falcons. Jalen Carter fell to number nine and the Philadelphia Eagles. And now we've gone through 10, 11, and 12. And number 12, Coach, was your guy Gibbs from Alabama going to the Detroit Lions. You had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind he was the second best back in this draft behind Bijan Robinson. He's a kid that started out his career, Chris, at Georgia Tech, spent 2 years there, came to Alabama, wanted to play in a bigger program, and they were more than happy to take him. He's got a lot of skills. I mean, he got big-time speed. I mean, we talk about Bijan Robinson being able to run a 4.45. Gibbs, how about a 4.36? And I think he can come in and play right away. You know, I don't know, out of the backfield running the ball, I think he does a good job of setting up his blockers, but sometimes he tries to make the big play rather than getting the sure yards. I think at the NFL, he's not going to be able to dance as much. He's going to have to try to, you know, not try to reverse field and outrun guys with his great speed. He's got to get the sure yards. Early in his career, he had some fumbling problems. I think he got better with ball security at Alabama. He got good ball skill, really good receiver. I think there's going to be a little bit of a question on him pass blocking in the NFL, but he's one of those guys, you know, you can play him in the slot, and he can make an immediate impact as a kickoff return guy. So I like this pick. They get a dynamite football player with tremendous speed.
I think you could have got him at 18, though.
Well, that's the other thing. The Lions also have the 18th pick, but I believe the 13th pick is it in, Braden?
Yes, it is.
Are you giving me the signal?
I was giving you the thumbs up.
Yeah, Green Bay Packers, go.
Let's go down to the podium.
With the 13th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Lucas Van Ness, defensive end, Iowa.
Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher, Iowa.
Van Ness chases O'Connell out of the backfield and flings him to the ground. Lucas Van Ness came untouched.
Van Ness looks the part at 6'7", 275, nicknamed Hercules. And there's room to grow. Van Ness is already strong at the point of attack, bulldozing his way into the backfield. He definitely flashes on tape, but there's some concern with his consistency. He'll also need more pass rush moves to beat NFL O-linemen.
You also got a trade, Chris.
Yes, we do. The Packers get Van Ness with the 13th pick, defensive end going to Green Bay. But the 14th pick was going to belong to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And I remarked to you earlier, Braden, was an aside, that the Patriots are picking a little earlier than normal this year at the 14th pick. Apparently, they didn't feel too comfortable in that position. They just traded out of the 14th pick and dealt it to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When do they not trade their first round pick?
They never trade out of their pick
all the time. They want to get more. They always want as many picks as possible with Bill Belichick and company. So I'm not overly surprised. Obviously, Pittsburgh sees somebody that they want to go get, and hence why they're trading up. Van Ness, I think, is a good, you know, defensive player, obviously. I think he's a guy that you probably could have got late first round, early second, you know, with a team like the Green Bay Packers. I thought for sure they were going to take a tight end or some type of pass catcher just to stick it to Aaron Rodgers after the last couple of years of refusing to draft guys to help him out. I thought that would have been the most Green Bay
thing. Yes, that would have really been a smart thing to do. Do something to stick it to Aaron Rodgers, not to help your own football
exactly.
team.
Exactly. But, I mean, I thought – but they need pass catchers, too. I mean, they need receivers, tight ends. So I'm kind of surprised that they went with the edge rush guy and Lucas Van Ness, especially since they probably could have got him later. I had Van Ness going to the Eagles with their second first-round pick. Obviously, with them taking Jalen Carter, that probably would have changed things a little bit. But overall, I mean, the Packers weren't going to pick again for until the second round. That's the guy they wanted. Didn't think he was going to make it to that next pick, and they went out and get him.
Well, I think when if you needed an edge rusher, he's probably the guy, Braden. I agree with you. I thought he would be on the board a little bit later. I thought maybe he would go number 18 to Detroit in that situation. The other edge rusher that I had going in the first round is a kid by the name of Will McDonald, the fourth out of Iowa State, and he's probably at the tail end of the first round, and we'll see if he may slip to the second round now. But I do think Van Ness went a little bit high, but if they're going on need more than just strictly talent, then they probably got their guy. But I had him going a little bit later.
Well, the Steelers are up here at the number 14 spot after trading with the New England Patriots, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, they almost always do a good job in the draft. One of the guys that's on that roster, he's having a pretty good career, don't you think, Coach? DeMonte Casey now playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's he in about his 10th year in the NFL? He's doing a great job out of San Diego State.
Atlanta,
yeah, he is. He's done a very nice job. There's no question about that.
He's had a really good career, and he's alongside Minka Fitzpatrick there. I bring that up because the Steelers could end up going for that cornerback that is still available from Oregon, Gonzalez. So we'll see.
Christian Gonzalez. The other guy they could go at.
Wide receiver.
They could possibly go for another safety pick from Alabama, Brian Branch.
To the Pittsburgh
Branch.
Steelers. With the 14th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia.
Broderick Jones, tackle, Georgia. Jones started the final 19 games of his career at left tackle, helping the Bulldogs win back-to-back national titles. He did not allow a sack last fall while earning first-team All-SEC honors. At 6'5", 3'11", Jones has the size and athleticism teams want on the blind side, but he will need some time to get stronger and improve his technique.
I had Broderick Jones going the very next pick to the Jets, so maybe the Steelers wanted
just
to go
missed.
In there and get him before the Jets do. So maybe the Jets got sniped there, but overall good pick. Steelers need an offensive tackle. I had Joey Porter Jr. going to the Steelers later on, but I also had Christian Gonzalez going way before.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez.
And he's still out there. So Steelers get offensive line help. You can never do. You can never draft poorly when you draft offensive tackles in the first round. And you know we know how tough that Steelers organization is, and how much they're always around. I think Broderick Jones, another big addition to that Steelers front, Coach.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. And, Braden, if you look, I don't know what chart you're looking at to look at these tackles on offense. He was the next guy to go, really. And so maybe a lot of people thought maybe he'd go a little bit later. But, hey, if you need offensive and defensive linemen, man, you better get them while you can.
Absolutely.
Well, seven of the first 14 picks coming out of the SEC, guys, not necessarily surprised by that, but Broderick Jones, another one from Georgia. They've had two players selected so far. Alabama's already had three selected. Tennessee's had one taken, and Florida's had one taken. So seven of the first 14 picks coming out of the SEC, and
they're the best football conference.
Yes,
I mean,
they are.
It's not even debatable.
You know, I was gonna make an argument that the Mountain West can give them a run for their money.
Yeah,
but
here,
it's not gonna be much of an argument.
Yeah, no, you can't make the argument for any other conference.
No,
I think we ought to start kind of wondering what is going on a little bit here with Christian Gonzalez. Most people had him going in the first six or seven picks in this draft, and all of a sudden he's nowhere to be found, and we're getting ready for number 15.
Yep.
Washington was expected to take a corner in the first round. They might be able to snag him.
Or they could take Porter Jr. there, too.
Right. But I had Washington taking Deontay Banks out of Maryland. Another available corner. I mean, there's so many corners available in this year's draft that I almost feel like a lot of teams that need a cornerback are just going to wait because they know they can get somebody good later in the draft, whereas, you know, offensive tackles are going on a run right now, and some other the positions that are a little bit thinner than cornerback are going early, and you might be able to be in a situation where you can cash in on both if you're a team that needs a corner too. So I don't think the Jets are one of those teams, but you never know. They're looking for a D tackle, another team that needs an offensive tackle, a center. You know, they might be able to go get that that safety out of Alabama as well. You know, that could help them out in Brian Branch. So we'll see what the Jets decide to do. But I am surprised that Christian Gonzalez has fallen this far, Coach. Because Chris, I had him going, you know, way earlier to the Las Vegas Raiders at 7, and he's still on the board.
Well, the Jets already got Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. Now they got the 15th pick in the draft from the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see what the New York Jets do with this. And they've got, obviously, they don't need a quarterback. So that's another spot for Will Levis to fall.
Chris.
He's Will not Levis. My guy. I'm just bringing him up because he was in the running to be the first, second, or third pick.
What, he is Godfather or something?
I'm not. I'm just.
The Marching Chowder to Society.
That's right. I'm going to give him two books of Union Oil Auto Script as soon as he gets signed.
A San Diego chapter of the Will Levis Marching and Chowder Society.
Yeah, Will Levis get falling like a. Falling like a rock, like an anchor. But, I'm struggling to find a team that even needs a quarterback that could take him. So.
Well, let me ask you this. I think it's interesting. I saw it on one of the mock drafts. Do you think...
Could New England do it at 17?
No, it's a team that doesn't have a first-round pick. And the idea was you get... Because the way that you know the quarterback played last year obviously got hurt. Don't really know what the future is with a guy like Matthew Stafford. Could you see the Rams trading up for that last pick with Kansas City to get a quarterback? And I saw the mock draft today with Mel Kiper. He had them drafting Hendon Hooker. Is that a spot where they could draft Hooker or Will Levis and let him play under Stafford for a year and then give him the reins with a guy like Sean McVay? I think it's a very interesting topic.
Well, is Sean McVay going to be there after this year?
I don't know. He's got a pretty good setup right now. You see his draft room he's got? They got the draft house. Being in L.A. is nice.
Yeah, is he going to be back after they win about three games since they had guys playing on defense like me?
I don't know. Guy's young, man. He can go through a couple of years living in L.A., doing his
thing. One thing you can say about the Jets, they had a very productive draft. Was it last year?
Yeah.
They had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year on their team. So other than that, they didn't do too badly, Coach, with Garrett Wilson on offense. And
Breece Hall got hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
Breece Hall, too. Didn't get hurt because he was hurt. On fire to
yep.
start.
They had Garrett nice Wilson player. On offense and Sauce on defense.
Sauce.
They had the Sauce.
Sauce. Hey,
so the Jets, you'd have to say the Jets had the best draft of anybody last year. Nobody could top having the offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Hey, Brayden, you mentioned you had Deontay Banks going in the first round. I got him going early in the second round, the cornerback out of Maryland. I had, you know, I mean, we still got Gonzalez on the board. You mentioned Joey Porter Jr. He's on the board. That kid out of Mississippi State I saw play, I thought was really good, and I've heard some good things about Emmanuel Forbes. He'd be another guy, Cam Smith out of South Carolina. All those guys I actually had ahead of Banks, but, you know, it only takes one. You know how that works.
Well, they were all part of the those mock drafts that had, like, corners flying off the shelves, you know, back to back to back. It's very interesting to see.
Has there still not been a wide receiver drafted yet, correct?
No, I'm surprised there, too. I would have thought Jackson Smith, Najba, would have been drafted already at Ohio State. Zay Flowers, another option. You know, second-ranked receiver.
Where's your guy?
Oh, Quentin Johnston?
Yeah.
I had him going to, like...
your guy.
I had him going around to Buffalo, around the Buffalo spot.
Who's Quentin Johnston play for? Does he play for TCU or the Minnesota Twins? I saw that logo you had on.
You don't like the throwback baseball logo?
I don't like the throwback Twin Cities logo.
I love the throwback TCU logo.
I always love these guys in the draft room. After they draft, everybody hugs one another. Hell, they don't know if the guy's going to play. I think they're just excited they don't have to look at film for about a month.
Yeah, I don't know. That and Chris and I were talking about the first overall pick. Everybody seems so excited, even though they probably had the worst season in their franchise.
Yes, I don't think teams should be as excited as they are to have the number one overall pick. I don't think that's something to be celebrated.
I got news for you. If you have it more than once, you're probably not going to be employed very long.
That's right. It's different people every time.
Didn't Jacksonville have it 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
They're pretty close when they give, but now they should be out of that situation for a while. Now that Teddy Ballgame has developed.
Chris,
down there.
What position do you think the Jets pick here?
What position do the Jets pick?
I had him picking a tackle, but I don't know if there's any left.
What did Aaron Rodgers telling him to pick?
That's exactly right. They don't need any more weapons.
Offensive line.
I could see that.
There's no offensive lineman high on the list right now.
Maybe Anton Harrison at Oklahoma. That'd be kind of a reach.
See what the New York Jetropolitans do.
I had them taking an offensive tackle in the second round, 42nd overall, DeJuan Jones out of Ohio State.
Do you want to get the pick when we come back?
Yes, let's do that. We'll keep you wanting for the Jets pick, hour, and then more of our draft coverage on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to the John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.